listening to the Rainmaking Podcast. Hosted by high-stakes headhunter, author, and professional speaker, Scott Love.
Hey, everyone. This is Scott Love, and thanks for joining me on the Rainmaking Podcast. So at the time I decided to bring this program back to our industry, it was at the time of COVID. Some of the topics that you're going to hear about relate to those nuanced issues that we have to deal with right now in the crisis. Some other topics that you're going to hear relate to rainmaking in general. And when the crisis first began, that's when I started reaching out to people that I know that I wanted to have as guests on the show. A lot of you don't know this. I produce another podcast that's just for law firm partners called the Partner Podcast, where it's not the topic of client development. It's all sorts of topics related to that industry. But I got to know some of the people that I'm going to have on this show through that, having them come back on and talk about rainmaking as it relates to professional services and B2B sales. And some of the topics relate to how you deal with the crisis. Others are solely on the fundamentals. And that's the topic today on rainmaking. And I wanted to introduce you to one of my favorite speakers, one of the most sought after speakers in the legal world. Her name is Pat Gillette. I've met Pat in person. I've seen her give presentations, and she's absolutely amazing and one of my favorite speakers. She has spent 40 years as an attorney. She's a highly ranked, a chambers ranked employment litigator, and also speaks professionally to legal groups on topics of gender diversity and equality and all different types of groups on the topics of client development. Pat is a 2018 recipient of the American Bar Association Margaret Brent Award, which is the highest honor given to women lawyers for their professional achievements and for advancing the interest of women lawyers. So I'd like to introduce you to my friend, Pat Gillette. I've got with me on the show today, Pat Gillette, and today we're talking about rainmakers, born or bred. Pat, thanks for joining me on the show today.
Thanks so much for having me, Scott. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah, Pat, you're one of my favorite speakers. You're amazing. I've seen you speak at conferences, and you are the conference. I mean, people just love you. You've got good content, and you're funny. And you've got good content, and you're funny, and that's really all you need, right? And so, and so we're talking about rainmakers. So tell me first, what's your journey? What did you do when you started in your career, and what led up to where you are today?
Well, I started my career wanting to be a politician. So that's why I went to law school, because I thought that I would enter politics. I got involved in political organizations and pretty soon decided that was not really what I wanted to do.
Right.
understandably, and that has proved to be a good decision, although I did run for office at some point. And I did win.
Oh, you did? What did you win?
I was on the Kensington Community Police Protection and Community District, which is the organization in my town of 5,000 that runs the police department and the parks and the garbage.
Right. Hey, well, all politics is local, right?
Exactly. That's what I just said. It was very interesting. Right. Anyway, I became an employment lawyer on the management side and worked for a firm that's now quite large, but at the time was quite small for a couple of years. Then I went in-house at Bank of America, where I headed up their labor and employment law section for 6 years. And then I left and went into private practice, first at a boutique firm and then into big law. And so my career took me from being sort of just a regular old associate at a small little firm to an in-house person who learned a whole lot about what it means to be a client as well as a lawyer, learned how to understand the business of what the organization was I was working for, which at the time was Bank of America, and then to take those skills and exit into the private sector, where I found I had talent, understanding, insight, and perspective that very few people had, having been a client as well as a lawyer. Wow. And that really became the basis for my interest in rainmaking, because I had an instant book of business when I left Bank of America, because I took all of Bank of America's work with me, as well as every major bank in California, because all those people had been my friends when we were all in-house. And so they gave their litigation to me. And that's how I began to build my book of business.
That's great. So relationships are key.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I would certainly say, yes, you passed the test. You are qualified to talk about And what a great perspective, having been a buyer, you know exactly what people want.
Exactly. And
yeah, that's great. So tell me about what you're doing today, kind of the work in your role today. And then I want to talk more about definitions of rainmaking and some of the other things that you have lined up on our show for us.
Yeah, so I wear two hats today. One, I left my law firm, my big law firm, in 2015 with the goal of really just going out and sharing the skills that I'd learned as a lawyer in business development with lawyers, with other professional services organizations, with friends and family, and speaking on the national circuit. I'd established a pretty big national name for being an out-of-the-box thinker, and I'd done this study, which we'll talk about later, on what makes people successful at developing business. So I do a whole lot of speaking nationally with a focus primarily on business development, particularly with respect to the myths that surround women in business development. Mm-hmm. But when you bust those myths, you find that business development is business development, regardless of gender. And then I also mediate some employment cases to keep my brain alive so that I keep a little hand in the legal world.
Right. And what do you truly love to do right now? What's your number one thing that you just absolutely love to do within your current practice?
Oh, you know, my passion is interacting and speaking with people. I love, love, love to speak with an audience, to give people some practical information about how they can improve their business development skills, and to inspire people, to take away some of the doubts that people have, to give people some of the encouragement they need, and to share some practical tips of how you can develop business. It's really something I'm passionate about.
That's great. Sounds more fun than taking depositions, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm a jury trial lawyer. And, you know, we jury trial lawyers are the big picture people. We like to love to be in front of an audience. Don't like the process of getting there, however.
I understand. And with being a speaker, you circumvent all that. And it's all about the love. It's all about sharing a good message. So that's great.
Exactly.
So tell me then, and this is something that was particularly interesting to me, just because I'm truly passionate about rainmaking also. And if there's one thing I could talk about all day and not charge people for it, it would be, let's talk about how do we get more business and how do we build trust with fancy people with big budgets and needs that we can solve, right? Which is what it's really kind of all about. And so you had some insights that are memorable that I remember point by point exactly what you said, because it was impacting to me and it gave me some hope and some encouragement. And I think you mentioned that there was a study that you performed or had researched that was the basis of some of your talking points. Kind of elaborate on that, if you would, for our audience.
Yeah, sure. So one of the things that sort of shocked me is that I'm not really a very special person. I'm not smarter than the average person. I'm not better looking than the average person. And yet somehow I developed a giant book of business over my career of 40 years in the legal profession. And so I was curious about how that happened, because when most people talk about developing business, they talk about where you went to school or being, you know, just good at your job. And if you're good at your job, business will come to you. And I think that's true. I mean, I think it's really important to have a very, very good reputation for being service-oriented, being responsible, being practical, delivering on what you say you're going to deliver on. But I felt like there was something more that made people like me successful at bringing business in the door. And so I partnered with a guy named Bill Henderson. Bill is a professor of law at Indiana, but he's more than that. He's just an incredibly innovative, creative thinker about all kinds of different things. And so he and I partnered. We brought in some specialists who are behavioral psychologists as well as statisticians, and we conducted a study. We did it in the legal industry because that's the industry we're most familiar with. And we studied through psychological testing as well as interviewing, as well as gathering a ton of background information of 300 partners from various law firms across the country. And they were divided into groups of people who were rainmakers, meaning that they controlled $4 million of business for a sustained period of time, at least $4 million, and people who we called client service partners, who were people who were very valuable to the firms that they worked at, but were not necessarily people who brought in business for whatever reason.
Right.
And that was revealing, because what we found is that people who are quote unquote rainmakers in the legal industry, but I believe it applies to every type of industry where you're trying to get clients in the door, whether it be my brother who sells gigantic computers, or it be someone who sells cars on a car lot, that there is a component of those people which is different from other people who aren't as successful at doing that. And that's what I was really interested in, is what is that? And so what we found was twofold. One, there's nothing that has to do with gender that makes someone a rainmaker. Mm-hmm. Gender, the people who were identified as rainmakers displayed the same personal characteristics, and in many and most instances, the same background characteristics as people who, whether they were men or women, it didn't matter what their gender was. So that was really important to me, because we're often told that women are not as good at this as men are. And yet our study says absolutely not. The characteristics that make people successful are exactly the same. And the second thing that we found was that there were four identifiable characteristics that I believe can be taught. Some people come by, let me finish this and I'll ask the question, but some people come by them naturally and some people can be taught. And that's what interests me, because I thought that we were talking about business development in all of our industries in a way that was really limiting, and that was causing people to feel like they couldn't be successful at this. When in fact, if you know what the characteristics are, you can practice them and you can enhance your skills.
Interesting. So tell us then, what were those characteristics? What are some things that we could learn from your study?
So there were four characteristics that made rainmakers different from client service people. So the first one is something called engagement, which is basically actively listening. So rainmakers are people who love other people. They love learning about people. They love knowing what's important to people. They understand that your job as someone who is trying to sell a service, and that's really what a rainmaker is doing, is selling a service, that your job is to help the other person, not have that person help you. Right. That you look for ways to connect with them and to connect them to things that are important to them. So engagement is the ability to listen to what someone is saying and to take information that allows you to provide value. So we often say we want to be a trusted advisor, for example, to the person who we're trying to develop as a client. Well, that has no meaning. What it really is providing value. And that value may be personal, because you may have listened and heard that the person is unhappy in their job. So you may think of ways that you could help that person find another job. Or it may be that the person needs childcare and you might be able to help the person get childcare. Or it may be that the person wants to advance within their department. And because you've listened, you know that, and you find ways to tout them if it's appropriate. You never want to do something that's not true, but if they are, in fact, a person who should be promoted, you want to find a way to help them get a promotion. So engagement is the art of actively listening, making sure that when you're having a conversation, you're not waiting to talk, you're taking in information, listening, practicing.
And let me ask you this. I'm trying really hard to be an active listener as you're talking about active listening, because I don't want people listening to say, oh, he's not good at that. So,
no.
So do you think that there are just some people that are not selfless, where it's all about them, they can't take their eyes off of themselves, and just that lack of emotional awareness, do you think that could be an inherent inhibitor for them to really even get to this first step here?
Yes, but I do think it can be developed. And so one of the things I say, if you want to see how this works and how self-centered people can be, is go to a party and don't say anything about yourself unless someone asks. And when you do that, what you'll find is you can go through an entire party and nobody will know anything about you, because you've been good at asking questions like, oh, did you go on vacation? Where did you go? And you might drop a little hint to say, in the old days, I went to Italy. And they never ask you about your trip to Italy. Instead, they talk about themselves. So yes, a lot of it has to do with people being just unaware that a conversation is a give and take, and that you want to take in information. It has to be authentic though, Scott. You know, I mean, the person who's doing the listening has to actually be interested. So I've been in some conversations where I was happy to stop listening and exit because a person was really boring. But for the most part, rainmakers find people interesting. You know, they find ways to combine what I would say their personal life is with their business life. So it doesn't seem like developing a client is separate from developing a relationship with anyone. So I can talk to someone on the soccer field and gather information while we're watching our kids play soccer that I may use eventually to develop a business relationship with them, not because that was my intent initially, but because I saw an opening for that.
That's absolutely so, right.
Yeah. So rainmakers are constantly looking for those kinds of opportunities to connect with people, to help people, to be of value to the person who may eventually be a potential client.
That's great. And tell me, what were some of the other insights, the other variables that you noticed from your study?
Yeah. So the second characteristic that we found was something called dominance, which is really the ability to persuade. And this really reflected what I learned from being in-house, and that is to be an effective advisor to your potential client. You have to understand their business. You have to know what the business is all about. And so when I was in-house at Bank of America, for example, we had to work in the branches for 2 weeks. Our general counsel required everybody to work in the branches. And at that time, the branches were the center of the bank, not like right now where you just go to an ATM machine. But we had to learn how the cash came in, what they did with it, how it was counted, where the vault was, who the merchant teller was, all these things that were that made the bank run so that when we interacted with our clients, we could actually envision and advise them in a way that was value added, as opposed to thinking that we had all the answers without knowing how the business operated. So dominance is the ability to persuade because you really understand the business that you're working in. So when I talk to lawyers, for example, I say, well, you may be interested in what a particular court did here or there, or that there's a conflict between the courts. Most in-house lawyers don't have time to really worry about that. They've got business decisions that have to be made. And your job as a service provider, whether it's a lawyer or an accountant or a consultant, is to find ways to bring value to that business by providing solutions that are business-oriented, understanding the business goals, understanding how you can make that person shine by finding the right business goal for their particular need. And that requires you to be innovative, creative, strategic, thinking out of the box, doing things differently, listening really well so you know what those are.
Absolutely right. And then I think even taking it to a deeper level, when you're dealing with multiple people in a complicated sale, knowing what everybody's own personal agenda is, in spite of, or not in spite, but even in alignment with their collective corporate goal, and speaking to that.
Exactly. You have to know what the interests are and who the decision makers are and what is going to work for the individuals involved as well as the group. And so, you know, one of the main things you want to talk about when you're trying to develop business is, what's the goal? What is it you're trying to achieve? You know, if it's a lawyer, are you trying to win the case? Are you trying to just get out of this as quickly as possible? Are you trying to teach somebody a lesson? If it's a consultant, what is the problem that needs to be solved? How can I provide value to the problem that you're trying to solve? So that's dominance. The third characteristic we found was motivation, which is the ability to act as a team with your client. So you have a team in the office, and that team is really usually run by the client service partner, so whoever that is in your organization or in your industry, the person who makes everything happen. The rainmaker is partnering with the client, always bringing the client in, making sure the client feels included, making sure the client understands why you're doing what you're doing, making sure that they feel a part of your team. So the fourth characteristic we found is risk-taking, and that's exactly what it sounds like. It's the ability to take risks, because when you're trying to develop business, you're putting yourself, your reputation, your expertise, your company or your firm on the line. And what are those people that you're trying to get business from going to say? They're going to sometimes, and probably more often than not, say no. But when a rainmaker hears no, a rainmaker actually hears not now, because they're willing to go back again and back again and back again. Now, you know, maybe after the fourth or fifth no, you get the message.
Right.
But no is never no. So rainmakers have to learn to take risks if it doesn't come naturally. And that means you have to practice it.
Do you think that's hard for attorneys that are risk averse? They've been trained to be risk averse. They inherently might be risk averse anyways. And here they are making an entree into becoming a rainmaker, and they're going to have to face rejection. They're going to have to face that risk. How do you think they could manage that emotionally?
Yeah, so that's a really good question, Scott, because what we know about lawyers, and this is just so hilarious to me, because on the one hand, we're always encouraging our clients to take risks, right? We're saying, we can try this case, we can get this, win this motion, we can get this deal done, right? And yet when it comes to our own personal lives, we are reluctant. We're not as resilient as many other people in other industries. So lawyers in particular are risk averse. And what you have to do is you have to train yourself to take a risk. So if I were speaking just to lawyers, what I would say is that means as a young associate or a new associate, you might go to a partner's office and say, do you want to go to lunch? Or you might go to a senior associate and say, I hear you're working on a project. Could I help? Or you might hear that someone is giving a speech and offer to provide materials for that speech or express an interest in attending that speech. It's those little kinds of actions that you take that you begin to develop a resilience to the possibility that someone's going to say no.
Right.
And the same thing applies in other industries. There are, you know, when I was in the House of Bank of America, we interacted with business people all the time. And what I found is business people, in my opinion, tend to be more willing to take risks, but there still is a reluctance. And it might be based on age, it might be based on gender, it might be based on a number of different things. But what you see in business is they're trained more to push the envelope and to take the chance. And so for those people, I'd say continue to do that. For lawyers, I'd say take baby steps, but begin to practice risk. And you can practice it in your personal life. You know, you can decide, I've never been on Zoom before. Let me see if I can do a Zoom conference. You know, it's a risk because you might screw up, and I have on several occasions. Right. But, you know, once you do it, then you feel confident about it. You're like, you can take the next step. So risk taking is really important.
So what were some other surprises that you saw come out of the study?
I think probably the biggest surprises, because these four characteristics that I've told you about, if you talk to most people who are good at developing business, who consider themselves to be rainmakers, they're nodding their heads saying, yeah, that's exactly how I act. I do all those things. If you're talking to people who want to become rainmakers, they're saying, maybe I could do that. But what the thought has been for years with respect to business development, there are these other things that define whether you're going to be successful. So what we found in the study when we looked at background was, at least for the legal profession, and I bet you this applies beyond the legal profession, but for the legal profession, most rainmakers did not go to the best, what we consider the quote-unquote best schools in the country. They aren't in the Ivy League schools. That's not where they come from. They weren't on law review. They got good grades, but they weren't necessarily on law review. They come from blue-collar backgrounds as opposed to privileged backgrounds. They worked during law school, college, high school, because they had to or because they wanted to. They're usually married or have a significant other in their life for a long period of time. Now, the one difference we found between men and women was that men who are married or who have a significant partner, that partner does not work. For women who are married or have a significant partner, that partner works. So women really are doing it all, to tell you the truth.
Right.
So those things were really surprising, because particularly in law firms where it's all about what I would call a pedigree, that may not necessarily mean that that person's going to be successful at rainmaking. Because rainmaking is really a combination of having an excellent reputation, which you may get from just having gone to the best schools and being on law review and all that stuff, but also knowing how to develop relationships. And those four characteristics that we just identified, those are all about developing relationships. Those two R's, reputation and relationships, those are what make people successful at business development.
Well, Pat, this is great. I really appreciate you coming on the show. I didn't know we would just get so much content in such a short amount of time. I want to have you come on later on. Let me ask you this. For those who are starting out in their careers in professional services, especially for women who are just starting out their careers, what would be some recommendations in terms of action steps they can take to really improve in their rainmaking skills and become that effective rainmaker?
So I have several ideas for that. One is I've actually written a book. I make zero from my book, but I'm happy to have people buy it because it really is a pretty good guide to how particularly people who are in the beginnings of their career can learn the skills that they need to begin to develop both their reputation and relationship building. The name of the book is Rainmakers Born or Bred. It's published by ARC. And you can see it on my website, which is patriciagillette.com. So that's something that I would recommend. And it's a plug. It's a unbiased plug because I really do think it's a good book and I'm not in it for the money.
And we'll put that link on the show notes for people that are listening. If you didn't write it down, just come back to the show notes and you'll have the links for all those.
That's great. And hopefully my website will be on there as well. On my website, there's a whole lot of content about these kinds of issues, both rainmaking and issues that relate to women and law firms and the development of relationships. So that's another place. But what I would really recommend to women and men who want to develop business is this. There are some people who are natural rainmakers. I'm a natural rainmaker. Scott, you're a natural rainmaker. I can tell just by our interactions. I don't have to know anything more about you. I can spot it a mile away. There are other people who are people who should probably be locked in a room and never allowed to try to develop a client because they just aren't good at it or they don't have any interest in it. And those people, that's fine. Not everyone has to be a rainmaker.
Right.
But those people in the middle, my message to them is, don't be discouraged. Think about these characteristics that I just described. Find ways to begin to practice each one of them: engagement, dominance, motivation, risk-taking. And use that when you're interacting with people on a personal basis as well as on a business basis. And that will begin to develop those skills and you'll be able to enhance them as you go through your career.
Well, this is great, Pat. One final question. Let's say people are listening and they said, I've learned some things from Pat. I want to reach out to her. Maybe there's a law firm retreat or a partner's retreat or even an associate's retreat or even other people in other professional services that want to hire you for whatever you offer. What's kind of the menu of offerings that you would like people to know about what you do?
So I do a whole lot of speaking, which I love to do, at retreats, firm retreats, and also women's retreats. I do a whole lot of speaking at conferences. And I do a lot of writing. So if you go on my website, you'll see there are a number of articles. But I don't do individual coaching. However, I'm happy to talk to people who just want to pick my brain a little bit, just as a courtesy. So feel free to contact me. My contact information is on my website if you just want to have a little short conversation.
That's great, Pat. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate this. I'm a fan. I can't wait to see you speak again, and I can't wait to get you back on the show, and we'll talk about more exciting things related to rainmaking.
Thank you so much, Scott, for having me, and thanks for doing what you're doing. It's really important to get this message out, so many thanks for making sure it gets out. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Rainmaking Podcast. For more information about our recruiting services for international law firms, visit our website at attorneysearchgroup.com. To inquire about having Scott speak at your next convention, conference, sales meeting, or executive retreat, visit therainmakingpodcast.com.